Hey guys, I'm Aaron Powell and you're listening to the Coach D podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, near or far, high or low, you're listening to the Coach D podcast. And listeners, I'm extremely excited to have this guest in the studio with me today. So without further ado, listeners, let's introduce this high-level athlete the right way. Listeners, stepping on the court at 5'10", we have a guard who is making waves in the basketball world. She is a standout player for the Charnwood Riders in the EABL, showcasing her skills on the court with incredible performances. She's not only a force domestically, but has also represented the under-18s Great Britain national team, not to mention having a recent breakout game with an impressive 32 points. But that's not all, listeners. Her journey took an exciting turn when she received an offer from Colorado University. So today, we will delve into her reactions to these milestones, explore her approach to the game, and uncover the secrets behind her skill development. We'll also discuss how Erin navigates high-pressure situations, drawing insights from her experiences on both the national and international stages. So listeners, please give a warm welcome to Erin Powell. Oh man, I mean, before we even get started, Erin, just once again, thank you for your time, for being on the podcast. And before we get started, you know, talk to us, how was your physical and how was your mental?
Oh, I'm feeling really good right now. So bang in the middle of the season, playoffs coming up, trying to keep myself as healthy as possible, sleep good, eat good, just, yeah, keep going with school. Yeah, just keeping it rolling, really.
Nice, nice. And just, I mean, before we speak about just your breakout game and just, you know, how, I mean, and plus you're still so young, so your game has, you know, so many more seasons, so many years to get better and, you know, fine-tune some of the skills. Kind of just take us back to, you know, Erin, who probably wasn't as athletic, wasn't like a beast that she is on the net. So kind of take us to, where was you, Erin, when a ball was placed in your hands for the very first time?
Okay, so I've only played basketball for about 4 years. So I'm very early in my basketball journey, but the first time I picked up a ball was actually at school, maybe end of year 10, maybe. Okay. Mid-year 10, one of my friends watched Kuroko no Basket, the anime, and like, so she had this like newfound love for basketball. She was like, oh, Erin, like, you need to come to basketball with me, like, please. And then, yeah, so I already played netball, like, I dabbled in a few sports. I did kickboxing outside of school. I did gymnastics, like, all, like, just as for fun, really. Like, I knew I wasn't going to be successful in them. But yeah, I went to basketball training with her at school, and then a week later I tried out for my local team, and it was the under-18s boys team, and I was like 14 at this time, and the coach was like, wow, okay, like, you can play. Who taught you how to do that? Who taught you how to lay out? And I was like, just YouTube, like, yeah. And no, like 3 weeks after that, like 4 weeks after that was when COVID hit. So like, and then yeah, I was just dabbling around outside in my garden, watching the NBA. I learned who Kobe was, and from then on I was like, this is what I want to do. Yeah. Like, yeah, this is me, I'm set now. So yeah,
coming from, you know, the fact that you played so many sports before you chose your sport, which was basketball, what type of edge, when you kind of look back now, did you kind of have this in terms of your coordination, balance, like how did that kind of play a major role in, you know, helping you become a better?
I feel like I've always had a physical advantage, like especially when I play against girls. Like I always found it to be easier. In PE at school, I was in the boys group every time. Like when I played football in primary school, always with the boys, like never really played with the girls. So I think that gave me that especially toughness. Like, yeah, I definitely felt stronger. And I've always been like a robust kid, like doing kickboxing, a lot of physical training, a lot of push-ups, a lot of planks, like upper body stuff. So yeah, always been like pretty active kid. Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like every hooper, I mean, just every athlete, no matter what sport they play, there's that moment, Erin, where it could be in a tight game, it could be when you're making free throws, or it could be when you're just even watching a game or even in training. There's that moment where things start to click, you start to read the game, and it's that moment of, I'm nice.
Yeah.
For yourself, Erin, when was that moment where you realized that you was nice at basketball?
That's a tough question because I've played with so many different levels of competition.
Right.
Like before Charmwood, I'd train with like men's local league teams, play at the park with people, see Surrey Scorchers players play, like dabble in loads of different competition, especially playing pickup, play against anyone and everyone at the park. Like, hey, you want to play? Yeah, I'll hop in. Let's go. Like anyone, I'll hop in with you. So, but I'd say I was really nervous going to Charmwood because I'd never known anyone to be in like a proper structured competition from a young age. Like I'd never played against those type of people. So when I got there and I was competing straight away, I knew I was like, okay, this is what I'm meant to do. Like I'm high level at this.
Right. And I mean, when I saw this on your page, I was just super hyped because one thing that I absolutely love now is, I mean, we know just how big college basketball is over in the States, and just to see more and more GB players, you know, making it and competing at that level, you know, is just super dope. So for yourself, I mean, how did you react when you received the offer from Colorado University? Because me personally, I'm losing. I'm like, mama, we better go pick. Going to the league.
Yeah, I know.
Represent. So for yourself, Erin, when you heard that news, how did you respond?
I mean, it was great. Like, so it was the morning I woke up and like I did all my morning routine stuff and then I checked my phone and then I saw I had two Instagram message requests. I was like, this is weird. It's like, what's going on? I took two messages. One was from Coach Towns. He's the assistant who I had main conversations about recruitment with. And then one was with Coach JR, and she's the head coach. And when you get a message from the head coach, you're like, oh, wow. Okay. So they're interested like straight away before even speaking to me. But yeah. And then I was like looking through their profile. I was like, oh my God, this is this university in Colorado. Like the high major one. I was like, oh, really? So, yeah, and he was like, you want to hop on a call? And I was like, 100%, yes. Whenever you're ready, I'm ready. So, yeah, a few days later, we hopped on the call and just got to know each other a bit. And with Coach Towns, we spoke for about two and a bit hours. And it just felt so natural, like, just talking. It was lovely. Like, yeah, really good.
See, and I think what advice would you say? Because, I mean, fortunately enough, you know, I've had quite a few, you know, shout out to Kyler Nelson, you know, used to play over there at Pitt. And, you know, when you're making that transition from whether it's high school to college, there's certain criteria that need to be met as a student athlete. So for yourself, Erin, what factors influence your decision to choose that particular university?
I mean, first off, the location of Colorado looks so amazing. Like, I haven't visited yet, I haven't been yet, but I've always been someone who's keen, like, in the environment and, like, natural spaces. I go around the woods a lot when I'm young, like, yeah, so I like natural places like that, and it's such a beautiful environment. And talking about that, like, I want to study environmental science, so staying in a state that is so beautiful like that is great for that academically. But yeah, even though just the connection with the coaches was amazing, like talking to them, they seemed like such lovely people, family environment. So it's exciting, yeah.
Man, and just, I mean, well, first off, Coach D, I'm definitely going to be rooting for you because, I mean, I follow the NCAA Women's Heavy. So just to see that you're going to be reffing GB and just seeing your game develop, and I mean, you're competing against top athletes, I couldn't be more excited for you, man. So I'm looking forward to seeing you on the screen for sure.
Thank you, appreciate it.
We have to talk about your breakout game with 32 points. I mean, what adjustments did you make during that match that just led to such a standout performance?
I mean, with WABL, like, I feel like I am that go-to player on my team. Like, I know my role. I'm the scorer. I'm the one that people will look to if we need a bucket. So I think that was a game where we just needed that, like, we needed me to go score, meant to look to go score, and did what I do. So yeah, it wasn't really anything different. Like, I feel like I've been dominating WABL this season quite a lot, but 32 was the season high for me, and we ended the regular season now, so ended it on a high note, which is good.
Right.
But yeah, nothing really different, just trying to do what I need to do in the moment to help us win. That's the main thing.
Right. And during those games, I always wonder, like, obviously the players know that they're on a roll, but do you kind of look up at the score and be like, damn, I got a 25-piece already and it's only the third quarter? Or are you just so, like, engrossed in the game, you don't really find out until the end where you kind of see the score and you're like, damn, I had 32?
Yeah, some games I know when I'm like, oh, damn, I've taken a lot of shots today.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, in like the game where I had 32, I think my assistant Jess, who's also my WBBL teammate, she came up to me and was like, you know, you got 21 right at the half. I was like, oh, don't tell me that, it doesn't feel like that, like, just let me play. some days, you know, you're like, wow, I haven't like missed a lot, like I'm hitting everything right now, I'm feeling good. And then some is like a quiet 30, you might just be like, oh, I might have dropped like 15 today, maybe 20. See the score sheet, you're like, oh, 30 points, what? What? So, yeah, depends on the day.
Indeed. And I think it's one thing, you know, to wear a jersey that represents your borough or your local club, but it's a whole nother thing just to, you know, have the honour and privilege to, you know, wear the colours that represent your home turf, you know, in terms of representing the nation. So as a player with experience in the under-18s GB national team, how has representing your country impacted your growth and skill development on the court?
The first time I put on my GB jersey, I was so nervous. Like, I was so terrified because I was with a group of girls who had been in that system from a very young age. So even when I got the call up, like, I missed the email, and then I went to the Hoops Fix game, and Paula, who's the general manager of the team, was like, yeah, I'll check your email. I was like, we got camp in 2 weeks. I was like, camp for what? Wait, what about? She said, for GV. I was like, what? Me? Are you sure? So yeah, I was very lucky that I saw the email, but yeah, I was really nervous, but I tried to keep a really calm attitude. Be like, I'm gonna do what I can do, go to Ireland and try and make some new friends, get along with everybody, like, trying to introduce myself, because all of these girls have played together from such a young age. So I was trying to like ease myself into the group and see what I could do and perform. But sadly, I got injured before the actual Europeans, but I went to every training camp and made the squad and then dislocated my shoulder. So it was rough to have that, but the experience I got with that group was awesome. Like going to Serbia, Ireland. Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
That's one thing that, unfortunately, you know, some athletes do have to go through that injury process. And I mean, it could be dark times. It could be, you know, times when you kind of fall back in love with the game, or you really understand your purpose of just, you know, why you love this game or basketball. So for yourself, during that time when you was injured, you know, how did you kind of bounce back and like still have that strong love for basketball?
Injuries with me is a tough one because I've dealt with so many. Like, I've only played for 4 years, and I'd say like a year and a half, almost 2 years of that has been injuries. Like, and it's been the same reoccurring thing. So I had a shoulder dislocation in one of my first ever basketball games, and like my actual league ones. And it was really tough. Like, that first time it happened, I just held my shoulder. I was like, what the hell is going on? And I started trying to put it back in and then carried on playing. The next day I woke up, I was like, something's not right with this. Like, this doesn't feel good. Then about 6 months later, the same thing happened again. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, this is the actual problem. And this summer just gone, actually, I had surgery on it. So I had like a long time out to think about it. And I took like 3 months off of my rehab just by working really hard and making sure pre-surgery with my physio at Loughborough, shout out Laura. She helped me out so much. Like, yeah, just doing everything I can to make sure that I'm ready. Like, I tried to not dwell too much, but think about the process of how can I get back to where I was before, or even better than I was before. because it's going to be those doubts in your mind where you're like, oh, can I move my shoulders, same, can I play? But honestly, I feel better than I've ever felt after my injury. Like, I have a newfound like love for the game, like even more than before. I just wanted to play. So yeah, it's great.
I could just tell, just, I mean, just even watching the interviews and how you played, there's definitely a routine that you've built for yourself and it's been working. And just, you know, you even said that, you know, the fact that you came back, if it was correct, 3 months quicker than expected from your rehab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, that just shows the mindset. Like, where does that mindset, Erin, stem from?
I don't know. Like, I think I'm from an area where people don't really do much.
Okay.
Like, you're born there, you stay there. Like, no one in my immediate family has been to university. Like, no one really knows about professional sports. No one plays basketball in my family. Like, I think I just have that urge to be different. Like, I want to make something of myself. I have that within me where I'm like, oh, and I have the ability to do that. Like, I really believe that I can. And I just enjoy it. I'm like, oh, if I can compete like this, be the explosive person I am, it's entertaining. Like, it's, yeah, it's just, I feel like it's something that can separate me from, like, the area I'm from, and, yeah.
And just, even on that, I mean, if you can you share your insights into the approach of the game? Like, when you're getting ready to play, do you like to watch film, or is there certain drills that you like to do? Like, where do you take yourself mentally when you approach?
So it starts with every day. Like, even when it's not a game day, like, I have the exact same morning routine. Even today, I'm at my friend's house because it's half term break, like, just spend some time with them. And I still woke up, did the exact same routine. Like, I wake up, I don't check my phone, I have a cold shower, I read a chapter of my book, and I do some stretches. And I do some affirmations every day, yoga, like, yeah, I've got the same routines every single day. Make sure I shoot the ball every single day, whether if it's a rest day, I'll do some form shooting. But I'm trying to be really consistent every single day, so then I'm always ready for every situation. Like, and not every day is going to go my way, but as long as I know I've put every bit of work in I can, then I'll feel good about myself. So, yeah, that's where it comes from.
And I mean, just in terms of the level that you play at, and especially in the future, the level that you're going to be playing at, there's going to be a lot of high pressure situations that can really mm-hmm. define a player's career and a player's mindset. So for yourself, you know, how do you maintain composure and make effective decisions during these intense moments in a game?
I think because I'm so early on in my career, that's always going to be something that I work on. Like, right. I'm never going to be perfect at that. And I still feel like there's sometimes when I feel more shaky and I'm like, oh, internally I can feel that. As long as the main thing is that I recognize that I'm feeling different, I'm like, okay, what is in my control that I can do right now to make me feel better? Like, I try to, sometimes you see me close my eyes and breathe. Like, my teammates pre-game will see me doing, like, I don't know if you know who Wim Hof is, yeah. The Iceman. But yeah, I'll do his breathing exercises. Yeah, I'll do those kind of things. Just whatever I can control, try and make sure that I'm doing something that will calm me down. There's also like this one word that I say, and I don't even know if my dad knows about this, but if he listens to this, then he'll know that this has stuck with me. But the word tightrope, like, my dad says life is like a tightrope and there's all these things swinging, trying to knock you off your path. And you just got to try and dodge them and stay on the line. Like, stay with what you can control. And yeah, that stuck with me. I've got that written on my shoes. So, yeah.
Well, see, that's one thing. Even, you know, when you go to the free throw line, I like how you just take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Had her in, be in the present moment, because it's so easy to, the coach could be shouting, okay, Austin, we're going to do a full court press. Like, okay, Erin, you got this. Just the fact that you kind of take that breath, just to focus on the present moment. And I think you said something, Erin, that is so key, that, If players can really adopt the mindset that you have in terms of focusing on what you can control, especially in a game of basketball, we can't control the refs, we can't control many things that are external, and it's very easy. I mean, even as a coach at times, to focus on things that we can't control. But the fact that you just highlighted it there, like you really just tap into what can I control right now? I can control my attitude, my effort, how I play offense, how I play defense. And that's kind of really what's brought the success that you have today. So shout out to you on that one.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Sure. And just in terms of, I mean, being a part of the Charnwood Riders in the EABL, how has the competition in the league contributed to your overall basketball development?
This is like sad to say, but over the last like 2 years, it's like the competition's got worse. Like the WNBL, the quality of it, because there's a North and South split. And the South League, the Southern League is so much stronger than us in the North. So it's like, I wish it was like a full league with all of us. So it's compared to my first year, the competition is so much weaker. It's like, but hopefully over the next 2 years or so, there's more teams that are going to be added. I know there's a few other teams applying for DICE. So hopefully the quality improves. But there's just a few players that like will challenge us on each team. Like, there's not really many rosters that have the depth that we do at Charnwood in the North. So we're definitely the strongest team with competition quality. Like, there's only a few teams that could compete with us. So we have, like, a really good situation this year.
And what aspects of your game, then, would you say do you like to focus on for just continuous improvement? And what you kind of found that thing to focus on, how do you construct your training to address those areas?
So right now my focus is shooting from beyond the arc, three-point shooting, off the dribble, off the catch. Like in my first and second year at Charnwood, I went away from shooting a bit. Like I shot a lot more before I came here, so, and because I was one of the bigger girls, I was used inside a lot more and played to like what would help the team win, whereas strengths in the long run might have been to continue shooting, who knows. But definitely something that I need to work on now. Like, I'm working on it every single day. Me and Coach Tor, who coaches Loughborough Division 1, and he's the WBBR assistant, like, we go get threes up every day we can. We do this drill called Memphis, 20 minutes of straight running, pretty much. It kind of kills me, but it's pretty good. Like, track makes and takes every minute, so trying to make sure that I work on my three-point shooting, take the right shots in games, and make sure that I'm not afraid to shoot the ball from behind the arc.
Right. Right. See, that's one thing. I mean, you're probably aware just the level of peak performance and fitness you need to be in, especially when you get to the college level at US, you know, because it's funny. I kind of tell the story of, shout out to Kylie, you know, she was talking on the pod about, you know, she thought she was fit playing in the EABL, but she got to the States and she was like, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah. Also, Colorado has a high altitude.
Yes.
So I got to get ready for that. I've heard a lot about this. Like, some of my WBBL teammates were like, that is real.
Yeah.
Like, don't play with that. Like, so, yeah, I got to be ready for that.
I mean, just even on that topic, just being a student athlete, I mean, there's balancing academics and athletics is, you know, crucial, you know, for yourself and other student athletes. So how do you manage your time effectively to excel both on the court but also in the classroom as well?
I try to make sure that I plan my days wisely. Like, the evening before most of my days, I have a little notepad and I will write down things that I need to tick off just to make sure that I'm on track. So I'll give myself time to work on this academically and make sure I'm getting enough shots up on this day. I've got a lift at this time, just make sure. And then once I've ticked all those things off, it allows me to relax in the evening. I've got that bit of downtime where I can refresh, be like, okay, tomorrow we're back at it again. But for the next hour, I get to chill and go on the phone to whoever, my friends, my boyfriend, go chill, talk to people. Then I get that like switch off time, which is good. So try to manage a bit of everything and make sure that I tick it off and keep my schedule tight.
And when you kind of look at, I mean, coming up, because there's a certain fierceness and relentlessness in your game when you play. So I'm super curious, did that come from the household? Did that come from your teammates? Did that come from, you know, players that you look up to at the pro level? Like where did that hunger, that competitive edge come from?
I don't really know. I have a lot of people who push me in my life to be the best version of myself. Like, I think it comes from that, like people maybe saying that I'm not able to be good enough, or like just the fact that I've had a lot of injuries gives you that hunger. Like the injuries definitely helped me with that. And I just hate losing.
Yeah.
But like, I don't like losing basketball games. It's just, yeah. If me having that hunger and that edge helps us win, then I'll do that. Also, that entertainment factor is always fun. Like, having that, like, a bit of trash talk. I know I'm one of the bigger trash talkers in the leagues I play in. So, yeah, it just makes it more fun. Like, you enjoy it more. So, yeah.
Right. And I think as a young player, you know, who is aspiring to reach the higher levels of the sport, what advice would you give to others who are looking to follow a similar path in their basketball journey?
I think just be consistent, but at the same time, don't be too hard on yourself, because like if you are so hard on yourself that you stop enjoying it, you're not going to make as much progress as you can. So just make sure that you do something towards your goal every day. And if that's a chore for you, then maybe you're working towards the wrong thing. Like when I wake up and I go do my shooting or I do my cold shower, I'm like, oh, this is the reason. Because I want to get here, this is why I'm doing this. And it feels positive in that way. But if you're doing it and it feels like a chore and you're struggling to do it every day, then maybe it's not the right thing for you. But just try and make sure you do something every day. And then eventually the work will add up and you'll get to where you want to go. So I'm going to try and keep that mentality with me to try and play at the highest level that I can possibly play at. And that would be my advice to people who want to follow. Also, it doesn't matter where you came from. Like, there's no one in my area who's done this before. Basketball was not a big thing in my area at my school. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you believe that you can do it and you put the work in, there is nothing in your way.
So just in terms of, I mean, because you really said that with a huge purpose, I'm kind of curious to know, why did you mean that? Was it a case of, for yourself during your playing career, it started off as a passion, you know, waking up early, getting the shops up, then maybe, I don't know, was it halfway through the season you was like, it started to become a chore? Or did you see that behavior in someone else where you kind of thought, okay, I don't want that to happen to me?
I think it's a bit of both, where like, sometimes I'll have days when I wake up and things feel a lot more difficult than they have previously. But as long as you know that those are just phases and like you're going to get out of that and things are going to feel easier again, it's easy to carry on. So I think it's less of my own experiences, but more when I see like my older teammates or people like who don't seem to enjoy it as much anymore. In my head, I'm thinking, why do you still carry on doing it? If you're not enjoying it and you're not like feeling great, it should make you feel great. Then I don't see why you continue putting yourself through it. Like, I think the biggest thing is passion and like continuing to do it for the right reasons. Like, if you enjoy it, then keep going for it. Otherwise, it's going to drag you down. Like, you're going to feel like this is a challenge, a chore every day. So I think that's just the biggest thing. And seeing people who look like they're not enjoying it as much anymore, it's hard to see that, especially with someone with so much passion like I have. I'm like, why do you continue doing it? Like, the biggest thing for me is you have to enjoy what you're doing. So, yeah.
Yeah. And just kind of just making a shift now, because I think how you contribute to your team, not just offensively, but on the defensive end as well. Like, what's kind of the basketball chess that you're playing when you're on the court and, you know, you're assessing the individual that is in front of you? What is going through your mind in terms of defensively, what tactics do you apply that make you successful defensively?
Especially in the WABL, like most of the girls I'm guarding, I know them personally, like because we see each team so many times and like I know what gets under their skin. I know their strengths and weaknesses. Like most of the time I'll be like, shoot it. Like saying something as simple as that can really mess with somebody's head. Like, and it's like a tough thing, because if I've been in a situation, it's my first year playing WBBL, people saying things like that to me, and I was like, oh, this isn't nice. I think like, oh, this is how it's gonna be.
Yeah.
So you like have to adapt to that, and I know how it is to be in their situation where those little words can affect you like that. So I think me trying to get into people's heads, I know it's not the best way of doing it, But me trying to get into people's heads and then putting a bit of ball pressure on, trying to make them rush their decisions, like that kind of thing really makes it easier for us to play defense. I'm also that loudest person on our team on defense by far. Like, I'm always talking very loud. Even on my WBBL team, I'm one of the bigger voices. So I'm shouting a lot of it, trying to make sure people in the right places, helping people out where I can.
Nice. And now we're kind of just making a transition into our third quarter, which I like to call the quick hitter segment. So I've got some questions here. And the first one, I'm super curious to know where you're at with it. And please feel free to take the time you need to answer these questions. So the first one I got for you, Erin, is what would you say? Two-part question. The first one relating to basketball is what would you say, Erin, is a skill that is taught by many but only mastered by a few?
Taught by many but mastered by a few. I'm still working on this, so I think this is a good answer, but using pick and roll, like making all the right reads. Like, I try and watch it on YouTube all the time. It's trying to be like, oh, if the defender's here, then I do this. Like, trying to get that in your head. And then being able to do that in real time is such a difficult transition. So I think that's definitely something that's mastered by only a few.
Pick and roll. I like it. Okay. Second one, and you did touch upon it earlier in the podcast, is the best piece of advice you ever received?
I think the one from my dad, the tightrope, is the best one. And controlling what you can control. I try to, keep that in my head.
Indeed. And third one, if it wasn't for basketball, I wouldn't have learnt filling the blank about myself.
If it wasn't for basketball, I wouldn't have learnt how tough I am. All the adversity with injuries, the mental preparation, the being nervous, all of these little things, they test my character, and I enjoy that challenge.
Right. And the final one is, what would the title of your autobiography be?
That is not quick here. What would the title be?
You're good. Take the time, because even for myself, it changes, and it definitely takes a minute to really collect your thoughts and think about, like, what would my title be, or even just a chapter of my life right now that I'm in, what would I name that chapter? So
I'm thinking there's a
tough one. Man, just from how you've described and even just doing research on you, like, just from my personal perspective, and I'm super curious to get your take. I mean, perseverance, resilience come to
me. Yeah.
It might not be the title of the autobiography, but definitely in, like, chapter two, I see, like, resilience or just
yeah
type of mentality. You know, how about yourself?
I think like you know, when your mind goes blank when somebody asks you something, but if you were, like, thinking about it, I don't know, in the shower, you'd have answers. But, like,
like, as a kid right now, he's just, you know, he or she just walked into a bookstore and, yeah, do you have that book by Eric Power? Yeah, sure. It's on the second floor, look in the sports section. They go without the stairs, they're excited, they got their Kobe's on, and then, you know, they turn to the left, they see one of the posters of the book, you know, they open it up. What does it say? What's the name of that book?
Dan, yourself, no matter who you are, where you come from. I think that's man. Or never doubt yourself, no matter who you are or what you've been through. I think that's a good title.
Why do you mean that? And what memories, what moments, what feelings was going through your mind that brought you to that?
Just like, I don't know, like I had a lot of things at school in my childhood that were difficult, like, and a lot of things that built my character, and a lot of things that honestly make me doubt if I deserve to be where I am, because a lot of the things I've been through would break people. So I think that keeping that in my mind that I'm worthy of it because of the work that I've put in is a big thing. So I think it's a good message to make sure that people, regardless of who you are, where you come from, how much money you have, your race, your gender, regardless of anything, like, if you put your mind to something, you can get to your goal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm just sure that, you know, the trials and tribulations that you've gone through in life have definitely made you stronger. And has it in some ways, you know, because it's funny, because I was, there was a clip on Instagram, I forgot the name of the coach at the NCAA, but he was saying that, you know, he's very big on, you know, there's the word stress, you know, and high pressure situations. And he was kind of comparing stress in basketball to stress in life, you know, like someone who's a single parent and you got bills to pay and you got like three kids, that's stress, you know, making a free throw.
Yeah.
You know, and you're down by one. That's not really stress. It's just because it's just basketball at the end of the day. So I kind of say that because, you know, just again, on your trials and tribulations, when you get into a basketball setting where for some athletes or some players, like they're down by two and they're getting the ball and they're wide open, that's like pressure for yourself. I feel like, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you kind of rise above that because you've been in much worse scenarios.
Yes.
So like how has those game scenarios been for you, considering
I think I want those moments. I've been in situations like that twice, like
right.
In very small games, like considering what levels you can play in the world, but 2 under-18 games in my first year at Charlemont when I was 16, like the youngest, one of the youngest people on my team.
Right.
I had the ball and I was like, there's like 5 seconds left. I got a defensive rebound. I ran all the way down in transition with like 2 seconds left and I took a short corner step back. What type of shot is that? What type of, like, who in their right mind is like, yeah, I'm going to shoot this step back. Like, just when I could have probably got a layup, and also my teammates were open and I'm so lucky that I made that shot. And we and Leo got fired out and we finished the game with 4 players because one of our other teammates got fired out. We had a concussion, like it was all messed up.
Mm.
But like, I want those moments. Like, they make you feel so alive. And like, oh, if I miss this, then okay, yeah, I miss this. I'm going to remember this probably more than other people. And it's just going to last one day. But if I make this, this is a great memory for me to look back at. And there was another game before I came to town, like under-16s game. I hadn't hit a shot all damn day. Like, I could not get a shot in. And like, we were down by, I think it was 3. I think that tied the game and took us to overtime. But I hit the backboard, banked the 3, and I was like, oh my God, this is the best moment of my life right now. I banked 3 and I think to take us to it. It seems so little, and like, you're probably the only person who remembers these things, but like, it's such a big moment and it makes you feel so alive. Like, you chase those moments because that's what it's for. Like, those highs you get off playing, like, they're so worth it. Worth the risk of missing the shot. And if you do miss the shot, then it's okay, like, you try again.
Absolutely. I see, you just even touched upon it just in terms of for yourself, Erin, what would you say if they're raw at the moment? Because I mean, like I said earlier, you know, you've still got so many great things to experience as a person and as a player. So as of right now, when you reflect back, you know, are there any highlights that stand out to you the most? And what were some of the lowlights that made you a better person and play?
Highlights straight away, I think of my first WABL game back from injury last year, because my team had lost 4 games in a row. Like, we hadn't won all season, and it was against our like local rivals, Nottingham. So, and you've had Nat on the podcast before. Nat was playing in that game. So we wanted to beat them so bad. And it was my first game back, and I just felt different. I was like, we are winning this game regardless of what it takes. And one of our starting guards went down, Emily went down with like a, she tore something in her knee, but we didn't find out until a few months later. But she was at the game, and we were like, oh, we're gonna win this for you. Like, we need a win this season. We hadn't had one yet. It was my first one back. I was like, this is time for me to prove that I am a big part of this team. Like, I can help us win. So it went down to the wire, but we felt so great after that game as a team. That was the best bus journey back that I've had. Like, it was great. We were so happy. So, yeah, that's definitely a highlight. Though, like, just sometimes things do get hard. Like, days feel repetitive with the injuries as well. Being at practices, watching practice when you can't play for months on end is, like, it's not a nice experience. But that, like, thirst to play is so, like, big after that it's worth it in some ways. And it makes you, like, feel happy that you can experience those tough days where things feel the same or boring, because you're like, a few months ago, I couldn't even do this. I wasn't even allowed to lift my arm above shoulder height to change my t-shirt. At least I can do these kind of things. And it all balances out in the end. So the lows make the highs worth it, because if everything was great all the time, it would just feel numb. Like, it wouldn't feel as good as it did. So, yeah.
Exactly. And just making a transition out into the fourth quarter before we wrap up, I like to have fun with my guests at the end. So what I usually do, Erin, is I give the guests 10 seconds and they need to name five things. So for example, I'm asked to Erin, you've got 10 seconds. You need to name five shooting guards.
Oh my God.
Order. When you hear this counting.
10, 9, 8.
That's what you could say.
7. Six,
tiring. Okay.
5.
How did that sound? I'm not very quick. We know this from the autobiography question. All right, we'll see how this goes. Okay.
So these first two is going to be quite easy before it gets just a little bit hard in the middle. So I guess it's going to be in the WNBA or the NBA. So you've got 10 seconds. Eric's like, okay, okay.
Oh, I'm stressing. Damn, this is nothing compared to a shot from our last game. I got to think of that.
That is it. Okay. Got 10 seconds to name 5 teams.
In the NBA or WNBA?
10,
both.
9,
oh,
8,
okay.
7, 6, 5, 4.
Oh, have I got to name them while the countdown's going?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay. My bad. No, go again. Yeah.
You're good, so I'll just reset. So you've got 10 seconds to name 5 WNBA or NBA teams.
Okay. Come on.
Let's get it.
Nice. 10, yep. 9,
LA Lakers, LA
8,
Clippers, LA Sparks,
7,
Las Vegas
6,
Aces, Dallas Wings.
5,
let's go.
4,
5,
2, 1.
That was quick.
I love it. That was super quick. Okay, next one. 10 seconds to name 5 WNBA or NBA players.
Oh, okay.
10.
Asia
9,
Wilson, Jackie
8,
Young,
7,
Kelsey Plum,
6,
Arike Gumbawale,
4,
and
3,
Breonna
2,
Stewart.
Let's go.
1.
Let's go.
All WNBA players.
Love that. Okay, now I'm gonna give you the heads up. I'm gonna call the screen early so you can go over or under the screen. Now, in the past, guests have struggled to answer these questions because you do hear these names, but it's usually around a certain point in the season. So let's see how you do with these next two.
So I just have to tell you if I go under or over?
No, so...
I was like, what? Shooter or non-shooter?
Yeah. Okay, so you've got 10 seconds to name 5 WNBA or NBA coaches.
Oh my God.
10, 9,
Becky Hammon,
eight,
Doc Rivers,
seven,
yep.
6, 5, 4, 3,
Greg Popovich.
Two,
yep. I'll take the three.
Oh my god.
Okay.
10 seconds is quick.
I'm telling you. You know what's crazy? Even when I do this by myself, I'm like, wait a minute. Why is my mind going blank? Like, I swear I'm.
Yes.
I could be watching an NBA game right now, but I'm like, Paul George, is that. No, I'm just blanking out. So trust me. I know the feeling. Okay,
yeah.
We've got 4 more left. So this next one is going to be hard, but then the rest should be easy because it's really just down to personal preference. So,
okay.
Next tough one. You've got 10 seconds to name 5 WNBA or NBA international players.
Okay.
10, 9,
Giannis,
8,
Luka
7,
Doncic,
6,
Jokic,
5, 4,
Marine Johannes,
2,
and
1.
No!
That was four. I love it. Final 3.
Damn.
So, 10 seconds to name 5 basketball movies.
Oh,
10.
Okay.
Nine,
Love and Basketball.
8. 7.
Oh,
six,
mind gone blank. Coach
five,
Carter.
Yep,
Space Jam.
Here we go.
What? New Space
two,
Jam with LeBron.
One. Let's go.
Four.
Last two.
White men can't jump. Damn. I had one straight away. I didn't even say it. All right.
Okay. Final two. So you've got 10 seconds, Erin, to give me your top 5 players of all time.
Okay.
10,
right.
9,
Giannis,
eight,
Kobe, MJ,
7, 6,
Luka,
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm going to go. Asia Wilson.
Oh, let's go. Let's go.
I need to put a girl in there.
Of course. And the final one that I'm super curious to get this one is name 5 artists that get you hyped before a game or workout.
Okay.
10.
Rod,
nine,
Wave.
Eight,
Stormzy.
Seven,
Lil Durk.
5.
Hot Boy.
Four,
Lil Papa.
2.
Okay.
1.
That was great.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh man. I mean, listeners, honestly, this has been a absolute pleasure to have Erin Powell on the podcast. I mean, again, just you know, someone who is still early, you know, just in terms of her career. There's so much exciting things. And don't worry, listeners, all the info in terms of her Instagram where you can follow her will be in the description of this podcast. But for those who are listening, Erin, for those who want to follow your story and your journey, your player development, especially when you go over to the US, where can they find you?
I mostly post on Instagram will be my main thing. I've thought of starting YouTube stuff,
okay,
doing that kind of thing, so
nice.
If that happens, I'll definitely put that on my Instagram. But yeah, most of my updates will be on there, on my Instagram.
Perfect. Right, listen, this is myself, Coach D, and the up-and-coming superstar that is Erin Powell, signing out.